Welcome to Emotional Empowerment, a podcast for emotionally sensitive or struggling people who are open to learning how to use your emotions as a spiritual practice. Hi, I'm Michelle Bursell, and I've taught therapists, coaches, and people around the world how to use their negative feelings to heal their life, and in doing so, eliminated their struggle with anxiety, depression, anger, guilt, and more. Ready to turn your negative feelings into your greatest allies? Then let's start your emotional empowerment journey right now. Hello, everyone. It is Michelle Bursell, and I want to welcome you to episode 21, Empowered Disagreements. And the reason why I want to talk to you today about disagreements is because when we are in relationship with others, disagreements happen. And I really want to guide you with how to have a disagreement that ends well. And it really starts with empowering yourself by being respectful to yourself, as well as empowering another by being respectful to another and their point of view. And so that's why in this episode today, I'm really talking about having disagreements with people that you're looking for a resolution. So I'm talking about working with couples and in your relationships, in your intimate relationships, with your child, teen, tween, young adult child, with a close friend. And I'm not necessarily speaking to having a political argument with a neighbor, because those types of arguments, there may not always be this desire for resolution. It can be about proving a point. But I truly believe that in our relationships, the ones that we care about, we're having a disagreement because there is something that you both care deeply about. Even in the political realm, we're caring very deeply about something, and we're just not seeing eye to eye with it. However, in our very personal relationships, we're wanting resolution. And there's a need for resolution often in order for our relationships to thrive and to be able to be expansive and loving and connected. So that's what I want to speak to you today and really support you with what is a mindset to be looking at when you're having a disagreement and where to be at emotionally so that after the disagreement is done, you can feel a sense of pride that you stepped into the disagreement from a place of love, from a place of respect, from a place of empowerment. So I have quite a few guidelines, and they're not in a particular order. I included quite a few because I think it's really important because there's so many nuances to disagreements. But if we follow these 11 guidelines, I know there's 11, I think it can help us. And what you're going to find is that likely you're already doing a few of these, and then there's going to be a couple that you're going to fine tune. So don't feel like you have to memorize these 11. However, if you find yourself in a disagreement that's kind of ongoing, you may want to jot down some of these guidelines to support you. All right, so let's get started. Number one, when you start to feel that there's conflict, you're in a disagreement with someone, put an end to the text, put an end to the email or the Snapchat or whatever way you've been communicating. You want to resolve a disagreement either in person or pick up the phone. So this is really important because I've seen so many conversations go completely sideways because things get so misinterpreted over text. And I get that text is such a common way to communicate. However, when things start going wrong, out of respect for the other person and for yourself, say, you know, I can see that things are going wrong here, or we're not seeing eye to eye here. Can we pick up the phone or can we meet somewhere for coffee or what have you? So really deciding that this matters enough that we want to be able to do this in a respectful way, in a way that we can truly understand a person's tonality and where they're coming from. And that commitment to seeing one another in person or over the phone, I think, is a sign of one's commitment to really wanting something to be resolved. And also a sense of their maturity, that they're not going to run away from this, that they're not going to hide behind a text. And I know you can't control that, but you can control who you are deciding to be close with and intimate with in your life. And with your partner, you're definitely going to want that. And with your child, again, whether that's a teenager or a young adult, you are really setting the tone of, when we disagree, it's going to happen, but the most respectful way is to either get on the phone or have a conversation in person. And what you're going to be teaching them in creating that standard is so important. You're going to help them so much with their future relationships that they understand the significance of really creating true resolution. Because if we blow things off, if we run away from it, it's more than likely that disagreement is going to pop up in another form that's very similar to the underlying cause that hasn't been addressed. So in person, over the phone, no emails, no text, just it will go round and round or it won't completely get resolved and it's going to keep showing up. All right. Guideline number two, address one another with respect. So if you're upset and you cannot be respectful to the other person that you got in a disagreement with because you're hurt, because you know you're not in a good place, then you need to say, you know, I want to address this, but right now I'm too upset. Give me a half hour, an hour tomorrow to cool down, and then I'll get back to you. Okay. And now, of course, the closer you are with a person, the more you want that turnaround time to be sooner rather than later, right? We don't want to say, yeah, and I'll get back to you in 48 hours. Like, that's not cool. If you're married to someone, living in the same house with someone, and you leave that other person kind of left to have this disagreement left unresolved. So give yourself some space or give your partner some space. And at the same time, it's okay to set some boundaries around that. Like, that's, I understand you may need to cool off. You can say this to your partner if your partner needs to cool off. What would feel good to me is if we can reconcile this before we go to bed. So you can have boundaries around that as well. Guideline number three, come from a place of clarity about where you stand, like what made you upset, and at the same time, come from a place of curiosity about where the other person is coming from. So in other words, you don't know the absolute truth about the situation. And oftentimes in disagreements, we think we do. So it's really important to understand, like, I don't know the truth about the situation. What I know is how I feel about the situation. You know your truth. So listen to the other person you are arguing with, because you are likely arguing because you missed a part of their truth. And you want to be curious about that because you want to better understand anyone that you're in relationship with because you care about them. And this is a way that we demonstrate that we care, not by being right, not by being adamant about how the situation made you feel, but understanding that the situation is also has another perspective about the other person involved and what it might be for them. So when you're coming from this place, you can say, I don't like that we are arguing. I'd like to try to understand where things went wrong. So you can see you're saying, like, I don't like this. And I would like to try to understand where things went wrong. I'm not saying that you made them wrong. I'm not saying that I made them wrong. I'm saying we've got to figure this out together. And really coming from this perspective, it takes two to tango, right? It takes two that created this dance. And we created this dance because there's an opportunity to provide a crucial course correction within the relationship. That's what I always see, whether it's in my own relationships or it's with the couples that I work with or when I'm helping parents. There's a crucial course correction that's occurring. And it's because, you know, especially as parents, our relationships change with our children as they get older. And it can be that a relationship is growing and evolving as you've been with your partner for a length of time. And what are these crucial course corrections now during this phase of your life? So important. Guideline number four, what's our common ground? You always have a common ground when you are arguing with someone that you care about. There's something that you both care about. And you certainly both care about the situation because you're arguing about it. And this is the number one thing that couples get wrong. Your common ground is that you are on the same team. And I can't tell you how many times that when disagreements have not been modeled in a healthy way for people, it's so easy for couples to start to think that they're on two different sides. And if you do one thing as a couple, always remember you're on the same team. Team love, right? So it's like, that's what you want for each other. And so, yes, you may be seeing things differently, and that's why you're having a conversation now to understand more fully, but you aren't on different sides. You don't have to think that it's you against this other person. You're on the same team and you're just having a disagreement. And when you know this, I think there's a sense of safety and security that supports a disagreement to be resolved. So really try to keep that piece in mind. All right, guideline number five. You both have a right to feel the way you do. You get to feel the way you do. Your partner, your spouse, your child has a right to feel the way they do. So why this is important is because oftentimes when people, there can be disagreements where people get upset with one another that someone is feeling a certain way. And this happens because you may have been with someone previously who didn't honor your feelings, or you could have had a manipulative parent that made you feel that you shouldn't feel what you do because now you're hurting your parents' feelings. So when this happens, you likely will go into a defensive mode and feel the need to justify your feelings. And so we want to take note of this. If you or the other person feels like they're on the defense of why they feel the way they do, this is an opportunity to make a course correction, right? To be like, you know, I'm sorry that in this disagreement that you're thinking that you don't have a right to feel the way you do. What I'm saying is, I feel this way and I understand you feel that way, and we both get to have our own experiences of this. And I think that's super important for our children, for our teenagers, for the young adults in our lives, because we do have a sense of authority. We're the parent, right? So we've been an authority figure in our child's lives. And so when there's a disagreement, if we're not honoring our child, they're going to feel the need to power over in ways that won't be respectful because they're trying to gain being honored, okay? And so there's ways that we can honor the other person, especially when it doesn't feel like the power dynamics are equal, that we really want to respect where another person is coming from and make that known. Make it known that, you know, if you're the parent and just because you're upset, it doesn't take away from what your kid is experiencing in their perspective. All right. Guideline six. Be clear that just because you both have the right to feel the way you do does not mean you can treat one another with disrespect. So yes, you get to feel how you feel. You don't get to treat each other with disrespect. So you can say to someone, if you feel that they're disrespecting you, you can say, you know, I get what you are telling me, but the way you are saying it feels very disrespectful. You can tell me what you need to tell me without raising your voice, without name calling. So you're allowed to have that boundary, right? And this also means you should have that boundary in how you're showing up in the conversation. You shouldn't be raising your voice. You shouldn't be trying to power over. You shouldn't be calling names. Calling names is a manipulation, right? And being able to see that. Now, again, if any of these things happen, if you've done it before and you can see that about yourself now, honor yourself that you can see it and then go listen to my past episode, episode 20, where you're learning to forgive yourself because we're human, right? And especially if these things were done to us, it's so easy for them to come out. But the important thing is that you're learning, you're growing, you're more aware. And in your willingness to grow and evolve as a human, you're helping your relationships. And so to really honor that, okay? Guideline 7, what's your point in this disagreement? Like, really understand why you care and be willing to dissect and look into that if a part of your caring is coming out of fear. It's a fear-based reaction. Maybe let's give an example of your parents got divorced. And so when your husband doesn't respond to a text within an hour, you're freaking out. You feel abandoned, right? So it's taking responsibility that, hey, that's an extra soft place for me where I can be really reactive because there's some residual pain there that shows up for me at times with a relationship, right? So you can understand if a part of your caring is fear-based. No, at the same time, maybe you have an agreement or just an understanding that you usually check in with each other. So, you know, if it's been an hour, maybe that's odd, but if your partner went out and it's now 3 a.m. and you haven't heard from that person, then you're probably going to be upset. And yes, there may be fear that the person, you know, got in an accident or something happened, but it's also a boundary piece, right? Where it's like, you know, that's not respectful to leave me wondering what's happened to you when, you know, you usually check in or we have an agreement with each other to check in if we're, you know, out late or whatever, right? So you can kind of understand and feel into the difference. When am I reacting from a part of my past experience where I'm overreacting versus where am I reacting from a really experiencing something that feels like a lack of respect? Because that's what is at the core of our disagreements so often, okay? At the same time, let me just add to number 7. What's your point? Why do you care? And be super conscious of, are you more concerned about being right versus getting what you want? So being right means you're going to shove it in the other person's face, the ways that they disrespected you, versus when someone disrespects you, how that perhaps creates a lack of trust, how what you want, the common goal is a loving relationship, is a trusting relationship. And when someone doesn't text you until, you know, all hours or whatever, that feels like a lack of trust. So it's not pouncing on someone and degrading them and shaming them that they didn't have the mindfulness to reach out to you. It's really being able to say that we're in this for a common goal of a loving, trusting relationship. And when you didn't do that, it made me feel like you weren't respecting the relationship, right? Or that I can't trust you to check in when we've had this agreement to check in. Now, guideline number 8, at the same time of knowing what's your point, you're asked to lean in to understand, and here's where the curiosity comes in, is what's the other person's point? Why do they care? And is a part of their caring fear-based? So let's continue with that no one checking in example, right? The other person's point may be that they were having fun and they were having such a good time because they haven't seen friends in such a long time that they totally forgot and they were caught in the moment, right? And so they care because they want to have that sense of freedom that when I'm in the moment and I'm having a great time, that I can just go with that, right? And that's their perspective. So again, this is where you can be curious without judging. And so even if you can recognize they are acting from fear, you can have understanding around that because you have done that too before in your life, right? Maybe not in the same way, but maybe you have done it in different ways where you're reacting out of fear. We all have, right? So maybe this person took it to an extreme where they're like, you know, I don't have to be in touch with anyone. I'm my own person, right? And that's where their ego is coming in and they're afraid of, they have some fear-based mindset going on, right? Like early on in a relationship that this person's trying to chain me to them or something, you know, it can be all sorts of things that the fear is coming from. You can tell the difference when someone's coming from ego. So in that situation, how can you be understanding is to say, you know, look, this has happened once, then I totally get it. You know, I've getting caught in the moment. I'm glad you had a good time. Just at the same time, know that it really freaked me out. You know, I was really scared. That's a way to resolve it. If it continues to happen, then there's a different discussion. So let's continue. But what I want to say before I continue, actually, is that what I tell couples is it's never about the toilet paper, right? So when I was doing couples work, it was this sense of whatever they were coming in, there's a thing, right? There's a thing that they're arguing about. And it's never about the thing. And so I always use the generic of it's not about the toilet paper, that it's not about leaving no toilet paper in the bathroom, right? We think it is. We think it's about leaving the cap off the toothpaste, but it's not about that. It's how the situation was for that other person and what they were going through and how it made them feel and understanding that. And when we just stay stuck in our lane and we can't see it from the other person's point of view, that's where we get stuck. That's where things spin. That's where underneath it, people can feel more and more unattended to, uncared for, and not appreciated for who they are in the small ways, right? So this is where it's important to understand what your point is and what the other person's point is. When there's no toilet paper, you can sit there and go over the facts and justify how it came to the point of why there's no toilet paper. And I can't tell you how many people try to do this. They want to go over texts and go over blah, 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 and try to figure this thing out. And it's just about understanding the feelings of one another. One person was in a rush and another person was lacking what they needed. And when you can see that in each other, then you can start showing up for yourself and others differently, especially if there's habitual patterns with that, right? Step 9, how can you relate to what they are saying? How can you understand where they're coming from? So if someone's in a rush, you can understand that. You've been in a rush before, right? So you can relate to that part even when someone didn't show up for you how you wanted to, okay? What can you do better? So this is where you admit where you were wrong or reactive or unfair, right? You can see your part in the equation. Okay, I can understand that you were in a rush and I can see where I took it too far, freaking out and yelling at you that you left me without any toilet paper again, right? And then step number 11, guideline 11, what can you respectfully ask the other person to do differently for you? I can relate to what you're saying. You were in a rush. I can see where I can do better is not scream at you when you leave me without toilet paper, right? And what I ask is that you slow down enough so that you can be present with our family. Because sometimes you're on the go so much that we're just kind of left and you're gone, right? So there's a deeper like feeling behind that. So we want to sum up these guidelines like 9, 10, and 11. I see where you are coming from based on what you shared. And I get why you would have thought that, why you responded that way, why you reacted. I could have done better explaining myself, not jumping to conclusions, being less judgmental, being less reactive. From my perspective, what was happening was, and say your perspective in one sentence and keep it brief. Next time something like this comes up, what would be helpful is, and then respectfully ask your request. You know, what would be helpful is you let me know that there's no toilet paper. And then I know that you're thinking of me. So we want to add in that piece of, when you do this, it makes me feel a way that I know you want to make me feel. You want to make me feel loved and respected and seen. So we tie in our request with a feeling we know that that other person in our life wants to give to us. And we're just giving them the directions how to better do that without judgment against them. Because again, we can see from their perspective. Okay. So I'd love to hear from you if you're able to apply some of these guidelines and see where you can tweak your conversations, your disagreements. Can you, after hearing these guidelines, sense where, oh, this is where my husband and I go wrong, or this is where me and my kid go wrong, or me and my young adult kid who now has their own child goes wrong in a disagreement, right? You can start to see, where did we veer off and where can we come back to this place of, we're in this together to create the most loving, safe, respectful relationship that we can, so that we're really being the person that supports that other person to be their best selves. And we can understand with compassion when things go sideways, and we're both willing to take responsibility to do our part to bring it back into the focus and the experience that we both want our relationships to be, right? And even your kid and your teen and your tween, your young adult child, they want that too. And so there's ways to do this where you can see each other eye to eye. I really believe that when we do our disagreements from an empowered perspective, there is such a deeper understanding within relationships. There's compassion, and there is really what makes that connection. So often, couples were coming to me because they didn't have the intimacy that they wanted. And I'm not just talking about sexual intimacy, although when we lack emotional intimacy, it's very common for there to be a lack of sexual intimacy because, especially for women, but not just women, men too, people want to have that emotional connection. Again, if we come back to the tantric lens of that unification, it's mind, body, spirit. And so we have to have this mind / emotional selves connected. And by doing disagreements from this empowered, loving, respectful lens, ultimately, you're going to create deeper connection and deeper intimacy. So I honor you for being willing to be the one to apply guidelines into your relationships, because you will be rewarded with more connection, more love, and more respect within those relationships. Thank you so, so much for pressing play, listening in. And if you have any questions that come up regarding your relationship, something that you want to fine tune regarding a disagreement or anything that's coming up, please let me know. And you can email me at support@iiee.training. And I'm happy to hear from you and support you in any way I can. Thank you so much. And I look forward to joining you next week. Take care. Thank you for listening to the Emotional Empowerment Podcast. If you've enjoyed the program, please leave us a rating and review on iTunes to help us spread the message about how to use your emotions as a tool for spiritual and personal growth. To receive free training in emotional empowerment, visit www.iiee.training. That's www.iiee.training.